Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Hello, this is the China Sports Insider Podcast. My name is Haig Balian, and I am with Mark Dreyer, the China Sports Insider. This week, it is part two of Mark's China Sporting Politburo Standing Committee. Mark, you've been out of quarantine and in the wild. Well, sort of in the wild for the last week or so. Beijing is just not the same, is it? What's been going on with you?
Well, you know what? Maybe let's hold our kind of, the personal updates until a little bit later on, because we're just about 2 hours past the new release of the Standing Committee for China's Politburo. Now, this is a very widely watched thing, not so much in the sports industry, of course. There aren't too many sporting figures who have ascended to the top seven political figures. But it's been a pretty dramatic 24 hours here in China, because for some of our listeners who may have been observing this, former President Hu Jintao was basically marched out of the meeting yesterday, and he didn't look like he wanted to go. Now, everyone's been speculating about what on earth was going on, and it was basically one of two things. One is he had some kind of unexpected health issue, but unexpected in the fact that, you know, he was frail. He had previously been escorted in, so he clearly needs some assistance here and there. But like, if they knew that, then why bring him in? You know, he could just rest, or like, and he clearly didn't want to go. So then why take him out at that stage? It was just odd. And then, of course, the more wilder things, which is probably wider of the market at this point, now that we know a little bit more information, was that, you know, he's been sort of forcibly marched off stage in full view of everyone else to sort of show who has all the power. Now, again, that theory doesn't seem to be kind of gaining too much traction. However, whatever happened, it was pretty public and pretty humiliating. And so it's just kind of been a crazy thing. The reason I'm going on about this is because I did a talk this week specifically about the intersection of sports and politics in China. And I think, honestly, from what I've noticed over the last 24 hours with this Hu Jintao incident, there are definitely some parallels with what happened with Peng Shuai, which was, you know, a little under a year or so ago. You know, my primary passion is the sports industry. You know, I come from a sports television background. You know, but since coming to China, you know, I think the whole industry of the media and censorship and all that sort of communication sphere in China is fascinating as well. It kind of comes a close second. And I think this is where some of the parallels are. So, you know, the line that was given was that, oh, he's just taking a rest, you know. And again, that triggered, I was like, well, that was the Peng Shuai thing. Oh, I'm just resting at home. Please don't bother me. I'm just resting at home, right? I was like, again, maybe I'm kind of, you know, joining some dots where there aren't any. But like, again, there was this huge incident that millions and probably billions of people were aware of. This was a top news story on international media for most of yesterday. It took about 12 hours for China to respond to this at all. And again, how did they do it? On Twitter. Pretty much exactly what we saw with Peng Shuai. There's nothing in the domestic media, of course, completely censored. No one's talking about this. I mean, Chinese friends have seen this, but of course they have to jump over the firewall. It's not broadcast. This part of the Congress was not broadcast on Chinese television. But everyone's talking about this and kind of wondering what on earth is happening. And so they've lost control of the narrative completely, purely because they haven't headed it off initially. and sort of said, this is what happened. He's just not feeling right. If they'd said that, you know, within a few minutes of him being marched off stage, then we're kind of thinking, well, okay, maybe he's just having a bit of a rest. That's fine. The guy's nearly 18. He's had some health issues, right? And the story moves on. But it's like basic communications 101, where China, you know, puts one foot in the mouth and then pulls it out to put the other foot in. And it's just so painfully embarrassing to watch. From a community, forget the politics, forget, you know, from a pure communications point of view, it's just so, so bad. And then, of course,
go ahead. You don't have to have a great communication system when you can just, when you have the entire media apparatus do whatever you want, right? So why, what does it matter?
Because here's the thing, they did feel the need to address this because they put out the tweet and it was on the Xinhua official account. You know, in the past, we saw a lot of Global Times stuff coming out with the Peng Shuai stuff, and some of the reporters were saying, oh, look, I've just been sent some pictures and Peng Shuai's at a restaurant and she seems to be having a great time. So this was Xinhua, which is kind of like the, you know, the top tier, the official one.
Sure.
You're not going to give it to sort of like the second tier Global Times media. So again, a slight difference there. I think, you know, that it's relevant. But yeah, it was just, you know, they felt the need. At some point, someone has said, everyone outside of China is talking about this and this only. Nothing to do with what we want them to be talking about, which is, you know, our Congress is going well. They're all talking about what on earth happened to Hu Jintao. So they 12 hours later finally got, approval to put out this tweet. And again, when you leave it, and I'm going to stop banging on about this now, but when you leave it for that long, it doesn't matter what you say, no one is going to believe you. And of course, that's what happened with Peng Shuai. Doesn't matter how many times Chinese state media said, this is what happened, she's fine, she's rejected her allegations against Vice Premier Jiang Gaoli, who of course was shown for the first time at the Congress. Just thought of another little parallel then. Again, possibly joining some dots where there aren't, but these are two kind of my worlds intersecting here. And I think, you know, just in the way that China deals with a crisis, they need some help.
It was also, occurred to me as well, Mark, that, you know, the rest excuse is an interesting one, because of course, if somebody questions that, they're the ones who are being insensitive.
It's just so unnecessary. You know, like honestly, I think by far the most likely situation is that he wasn't feeling right. And then again, it was public and it was embarrassing at a minimum. But like he was on the nightly news package, you know, mentioned after Xi Jinping. So it's clear that nothing, you know, worse than that has happened to Hu Jintao. But no one knew until hours and hours and hours later. And again, it's just, it's kind of the way things are done here. So whether it's sports, whether it's politics, there's definitely some parallels. But, you know, that is the hot news at the moment, the drama in China right now. So, 2 hours on, that's our hot take.
Well, there's nothing much else happening in terms of sports, I don't think, not that I can see from here anyway. Let's move on to your new list, Mark. So just remind the people, what is this list?
So, you know, the big thing about this Congress is we get to see who the new leadership of China is for the next 5 years, or at least that's what we expect. And so, you know, you've got the political positions, you've got the president, the premier, the chairman of this body and that body, and the secretary and the vice premiers and all that sort of stuff. And so last week we did a top seven, which was the president of China sports, looking backwards over the last, you know, 5+ years. And then we listed the best female athlete, the best male athlete, the best Olympian, the best team, the people's choice. And then, of course, my favorite, because I'm, self-indulgent, was the DRESSBY, the Dryer ESPY Award. So as we go through the new Chinese Sporting Politburo Standing Committee, I will just refresh your memories about who out with the old, in with the new. And so let's get to it, I guess.
Yeah, who do you want to start with?
Let's start at the top, the president. So the president was Yao Ming, because he was just an epic figure in the field of China sports. And the way that China works is that the president doesn't change, and so the new president is going to be Yao Ming. All right, I know.
That makes all the sense in the world, Mark.
Yeah. Kind of crappy joke, but anyway, there you go. That's the last mention of politics for today. So you know, Yao Ming is getting his third term, I guess, because he's been, you know, he's a player for a long time. So he's had a good like 10-year career up till now. He's going into his third 5-year term, but honestly, he is still going to be a significant figure in the field of sports in China moving forward. You know, he's head of the CBA. He's not going away. He's at a prime age in terms of being very, very active. He could be, you know, in and around the Chinese sports industry for another 2-3 decades. So, you know, it was a kind of a little cheesy joke with Xi Jinping getting his third term, Yao Ming staying on as well. But I honestly think it's relevant.
You know, it was funny. I just glitched just in the middle of that joke, but it is a very funny joke. I didn't quite get it. But you know, Mark, when you were talking about the Politburo and how you know, it'd be really difficult to imagine a sports figure in that Politburo, Yao Ming might have the stature to maybe ascend to that in a few decades. What do you think?
Things would have to dramatically change. That is not I think it's a reasonable question, like, you know, if we're sort of speculating, but it's like, yeah, that's just, it would be so outlandish seen today, and clearly with the current administration, it's not going to happen, but you know, who knows, you just never know, right? You know, like at some point, things will change. You know, there will be a new president at some future point, unknown today. You know, is it going to be Yao Ming? Almost certainly not. But you know, he is a senior statesman. Yeah. Well, okay. He's
exposing myself, Mark, right now.
He's not yet senior, but I do think that he could be involved in an administrative position for basically as long as he wants. Second position is best female athlete. Now, previously we had Li Na, you know, winner of 2 Grand Slams, one of my favorite Chinese athletes of all time. So a little bit biased there, and you know what? I've gone with who I genuinely think is going to become the next Li Na, and this is Zheng Qinwen, who's just turned 20. Tennis player. She is, you know, storming up the rankings. She's into the top 50 at the moment, and honestly, I think within a year's time, she's going to be knocking on the door of the top 10. If she's not there already. She has a lot of parallels with Li Na, not just from the talent. But she is really going from strength to strength off the court as well. She's been posting about all these new sponsorships that she's got. So she really is, you know, she's kind of in the same Nike stable and Nike, we've said before on the show, you know, internally they're talking about her potentially being a top 5 player. I genuinely think she could be a real superstar, not just in China, but globally as well. You know, she speaks good English, and that is important if you are going to break out into the global market. She seems to have a great personality. And so, look, a lot can go wrong. I think the big difference is she's still so young, and Li Na really only got to the top when she was in her late 20s into her 30s. So, you know, that is sort of a big difference there.
Mark, I don't know the rest of your picks, so I don't want to step on any of your picks, but I do have a question. Did you consider Eileen Gu for this?
That's an interesting question. I did consider her for this. It's just a bit too unknown, I think. And I think with winter sports, you're really only in that Olympic spotlight every 4 years. I think Eileen Gu has the world at her feet, but she kind of has the world on her feet in different ways. You know, she's a model. She's an ambassador in certain ways. She's also an athlete. She might just decide she prefers some other course over freestyle skiing. No indication so far, but I'm thinking like further down the line, you know, 5 years from now, can we guarantee that Zheng Qinwen is going to be still playing tennis? Well, unless she has horrible injuries, basically we can. Eileen Gu, I would say, it's likely, but it's less certain. And certainly further down the line, that would be my difference, yeah. So number 3, best male athlete. And previously I went with Sun Yang, the swimmer, just because of what he'd done a little bit further back from 5 years, you know, the 2 gold medals at London and just dominating in the freestyle. I've actually gone with tennis again. This is a little bit of a bold pick. I'm going with Jerry Shang, who is an up-and-coming, one of several up-and-coming Chinese male tennis players. We saw a couple of players for the first time break through at the US Open. Jerry Shang hasn't yet got to that stage, but he's been a very, very highly ranked and promising junior. Partly, I wanted to mention him because guess who he's been training with over the last few months?
I'm gonna guess Muratoglu.
I'm gonna give you some clues.
Okay.
He is Chilean, former world number one, I believe. Not Mark, but Marcelo. Help Rios. Me out here. Yes.
That's right.
Now, I'd forgotten. I mean, this Rios has basically disappeared.
Yeah.
And he's kind of only really resurfaced. And wow, look him up if you get a chance. He has gone through a transformation. He's had a lot of work done on his face, for one thing. Okay. He's now covered in tattoos. He's still kind of got the ponytail. He's sort of, you know, he's a bigger guy. He's stacked. He's wearing tank tops and shorts. It's the most bizarre combination to see the two of them. Now, unfortunately, they only worked together for 2 months. And he's been fired by Shang and his team. And he's basically saying, well, I think they didn't like, you know, I'm not here to, but, you know, I'm here to get him to the top 10. You know, I'm not here to you know, be top 150, top 200. In those 2 months, I think his ranking went from about 300 and something to 160. He's still on the Challenger Tour. Anyway, getting back to Jerry Shang, it's a bit of a speculative pick. The reason I've gone with tennis is because I think it's a little easier to predict a longer-term future than some of the other sports. You know, 5 years from now, we're going to be looking back thinking he's the one. Very possibly not. But that's why I've gone with Jerry Shang, but really representative of the male Chinese tennis scene that we saw, you know, Uyi Bing at the US Open win a couple of rounds and do well. And so I think there's some promise there for the future.
That seems like a tough one, Mark, just because there's so many great athletes that you could have chosen. Like, were there any other athletes that you were considering?
Well, some, but they kind of maybe were in discussion for some of the others. I mean, honestly, there's no one to me who sort of stands out, particularly when it comes to a global, you know, and we mentioned this last week, that there's a lot of stars who are, you know, they're in table tennis or perhaps diving, you know, and honestly, within China, they're big names, but it's a couple of things. One, it's a bit of a production, you know, a conveyor belt of talent. There's always going to be someone coming through. China is always going to win, whether it's this individual or that individual. You know, Lin Dan was kind of dominant in badminton in the past. There's no one on my radar, and if you as know of people in sort of other sports that they think are going to dominate, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, I mean, just thinking about, there's no basketball players right now that are, you know, that are even in the NBA that you would think that might break through.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of kids who are kind of, you know, basketball hardcore Chinese basketball fans are talking about who are still in high school right now in the US, but again, do they even get drafted at this point? And if so, you know, we've had a couple of players drafted since Yao and Yi Jianlian who haven't really even played. So just getting drafted is not enough.
It's not
a ticket to success. So
definitely not.
To really be dominant at the top of the game, it's hard. It's hard.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Again, I'd love to see that pick in particular completely upended sooner rather than later, as more Chinese male sports stars kind of dominate. But for the moment, going with Jerry Shang. So number four, midway through the Chinese Politburo Standing Committee, best Olympian of the future. Now, I've gone with female water sports, and I've been unable to narrow it down. I'm going to throw out three names here that I think you know, have already seen some success, but I think could be around for a while. We've got Li Bingjie. She's a freestyle athlete. You know, China we've already seen with Sun Yang has some form here. She's done very, very well at the world level. Zhang Yufei in butterfly performed very, very well. Got a gold medal in Tokyo at the Olympics, but I think she's still young enough that she could still dominate. And then, you know, the 14-year-old diver Chuen Hong Chan, she just won the double synchro at one of the world tournaments and over the last few weeks. So she's I think 15 now. She could basically go as long as, you know, she's not, people don't dive into their 30s very rarely, certainly not in China.
Definitely not.
You know, some of the other countries, there are fewer elite athletes and they do stay around. You know, so again, I think for these three, this trio, it's really how long do they have the hunger? You know, how long can they still be at the top? I think they certainly have the talent. You know, it'd be great to see some more dominant, over a long period of time, dominant Chinese athletes. But whether it's these three, whether it's someone else, you know, again, I've sort of hedged my bets there with three names for one position.
Could that happen at the actual pull-up Euro, Mark?
No. Substitution's not allowed. Although I suppose there are, for health or worse reasons, you know, there could be some exceptions. But not unlikely to see that. The next one is best team. And just a refresher, we had, best Olympian, the former, I didn't refresh, but we had Su Bingtian. So we went from the male sprinter to the female swimmers and divers. The best team previously was the women's volleyball team, and they've done very well over the last 5 to 10 years. I'm going with Beijing FC. A little bit of a hometown push here. They haven't actually been great right now. Previously known as Beijing Guoan, but a lot of these names have been sort of cleaned up, as it were. So they're now officially known as Beijing FC. They have a brand new stadium right here in the capital. It is about, from where I am right now, it's probably about a 10-15 minute walk from where I am. I can see the new kind of round stadium. They've been trying on the lights at night, and it looks stunning. The pictures of this new stadium, Gongti, which is a workers' stadium, it's been completely rebuilt, and it's due to open at the end of this year. I don't think that Beijing FC are going to get into it until next season at the earliest, and let's hope that when they're back in there, you know, we can have some fans, we can go to get some games. You know, the atmosphere in the old stadium, despite the old stadium just being horrifically bad and unfriendly as a sort of a concrete structure, you know, the fans are great. The passion is there. So, you know, these are some of the things that I'm excited about when it comes to the Chinese sporting scene. You know, we've been pretty pessimistic over the last few weeks and months in terms of COVID and all this sort of stuff. But, you know, there are areas for optimism, and, you know, the fans, Chinese sports fans, you know, is definitely near the top of the list. So I just kind of, I'm hoping, you know, hometown boost here, Beijing FC, they get the new stadium and everything comes together and they get back to the top of the Chinese Super League.
Another reason for optimism is that they removed the running track.
So, of course, it was going to be one of the headline new stadiums for the Asian Cup for next year. And, you know, as we've covered here before, you know, China basically had to give up its hosting rights because it wasn't able to guarantee that it could host it. This is June next year. It's just kind of slightly depressing that the new host is going to be Qatar. You know, it's like we know that they can hold the tournament because they will have had the World Cup in just under a month's time now. And then next June, they're going to be hosting the Asian Cup as the stand-in host. But it just would have been much more exciting for me to see either Korea. Indonesia was originally in the running. So it's the safe choice from the AFC. But yeah, it's kind of boring.
Okay, can I continue with that tangent a little bit, Mark? Because they're doing it in the summer. I mean, didn't they move the World Cup to the winter because it's too hot?
That is a great point. That is a great point. And you know what we have seen when it comes to some of the Chinese qualifying games for World Cups that have been staged outside of China because they weren't able to host teams in China because of COVID, what we've seen in the Middle East is ridiculously late kickoff times. And so that might be how they get around it. I don't think we'll have any 6 a.m.s, but we might have honestly kind of like midnight kickoffs.
Jesus.
So it... Well, I don't know. This is all speculation at this time.
No, of course.
It's possible that, you know, Asia is kind of hotter. And so the teams are less concerned about the heat, or at least more used to the heat than some of the kind of the whiny Europeans kind of going, oh, it's going to be too hot in summer. You know, I don't know. They haven't said to my knowledge about kickoff times and all of that, but that is a good point. That is why we have the World Cup coming up in November and December in Qatar.
Wow, that is interesting, Mark. I didn't know that. Okay, so that's the best team. Next.
People's choice. The people's choice. Previously went to Fu Yuanhui, who was the female swimmer who basically just kind of broke out in Brazil with her amazing personality and just willingness to talk about anything and everything, and her facial expressions and emotive sort of gasps on television. And I've given the people's choice sort of different reason, but someone who did resonate with certain section of the people. And you did kind of foreshadow this earlier. Eileen Gu. Eileen Gu.
I did was step sort on of your the, choices. All right.
The darling, a darling of the of the Beijing 2022 Olympics, you know, two golds and a silver medal. And a lot of people saying how great she was. But I think, you know, the question is, she is the people's, she is, you know, a subsection of the people's choice for now. It's going to be really interesting to see how or if she is able to kind of hold this position and whether things go sour. You know, it's too early to be talking about this right now, but Hu Xijin, who is the former editor of the Global Times, actually asked a really interesting question during the Olympics. And he said, look, you know, we need to sort of say, look, she's bringing glory to the sport, in the sporting arena, to China. She's winning medals for China's sporting team. But we want to avoid basically saying, you know, aligning Eileen Gu with China and China's glory, because we just don't know what's going to happen in the future. You know, she was 18 at the Olympics. I think she's now 19. Maybe she kind of has a change of heart. Maybe she comes out of Stanford and is like, you know what, like, I love my American side now more than perhaps I did earlier, and I want to, you know, compete with the Americans. You know, geopolitics between the two big nations, you know, U.S. and China, could impact. And again, way too big a conversation to kind of get into what might happen. But, you know, it's not beyond the realms of possibility. If more and more, if she had a hard time hedging her bets, treading the fine line between the US and China earlier this year, you know, that's only getting more difficult. And so she's forced to pick a side. You know, it does sound like she's still got her US citizenship. We don't know if she has a Chinese passport. You know, so again, people's choice. She was kind of the darling earlier this year. But for how long, I think, is the big question there. As I mentioned before, she's much more already than just an athlete. You know, she's constantly posting photos about being in fashion shows all over the world. Even since starting at Stanford, she's been in South Korea, she's been in France, Paris, you know, probably a few other places as well. So I hope she's taking her books on the road. But, you know, she's certainly having an interesting life for sure.
Is this number 7 coming up? Because if it is. Oh, this is okay. I'm looking forward to this one. Okay. Number 7.
The Dresby, the Dreyer ESPY Awards, making no apologies for my self-indulgence.
Nor should
so the last time, you know, and this was something that you know, I when I was sort of writing the book and just covering the Chinese sports industry, it's really interested me. You know, there's elements here from Eileen Gu. It's this issue of naturalization, sort of recruiting people who are either ethnically Chinese or not ethnically Chinese, but to switch and compete for China. And so I gave it to Elkerson, you know, the Brazilian. It was sort of a bit of a cheeky, you know, someone did ask online, now, why on earth is Elkerson the cover image for the original standing committee? Well, it was like, well, you know, if you'd listened to it, kind of had the explanation there. But, you know, he obviously converted to play for China. And he's done well so far for China. I'm not sure if he's still in the mix, whether he seems kind of settled back in Brazil. And of course, that is the challenge. So I've gone with a really left field pick here. But it's continuing the theme of naturalization and someone who could be a Chinese athlete in the future. Any ideas? I've gone with Emma Raducanu.
I love it.
Okay, again.
No, this is
do
great.
I really think she's going to be competing for China in the future? Probably not. However, she's good friends with Eileen Gu. They've been posting pictures all over the world together. They love hanging out. She is ethnically half Chinese, just like Eileen Gu. She has a Romanian father and Chinese mother, born in Canada, and grew up and is representing the UK. So the world is increasingly a multicultural place. And, you know, as represented by, you know, people like Eileen Gu and Emma Raducanu, like four nations really that sort of have close to her. So, again, wouldn't that just be amazing if she was competing for China on the same, maybe the same Davis Cup team. Sorry, it's not Davis Cup. It's the Fed Cup, isn't it? With Jiang Qianwen, perhaps, you know, winning glory for China.
What would happen in the UK if that were if she were to do that? Like, it would erupt.
Yeah, it would. But, you know, like, I just think it's becoming more of a normal situation where people do switch nationalities. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. potentially it could only happen more as the world becomes more cultural. You know, I don't know. It could go the other way, of course. And of course, people erupted when Eileen Gu, and people still erupt when, you know, when they talk about Eileen Gu. She's a very polarizing figure. But, you know, we're trying to have a little bit of fun with the Sporting Politburo Standing Committee. So the Dresby Award for for the future of Chinese sports goes to Emma Raducanu, who is not yet competing for China, but may one day in the future.
Hopefully, Mark, in 5 years' time, we can look back and see where all these people are.
Yeah, no, it's been fun to do. What I've been most happy about, Haig, is I've managed to put a smile back on your face for at least half of an hour or so. I know that you're struggling a little bit in quarantine, 4 days in, another, well, hopefully three until you get to your home, right?
That's the hope.
That was a big sigh. Sorry. Sorry to bring it up.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. It's amazing here, Mark. It's absolutely amazing. Like, the hallways are like, did you ever watch the show Dexter? You know that show? It's about that serial killer.
Yeah, yeah.
The hallways are like a murder scene from Dexter. You know, cellophane on the ground, cellophane on the walls, on the ceiling. You know, it's all taped up. It's amazing. And I don't know, the testing I can deal with, I guess. You know, I totally understand. The meals are not bad. Like, they're not bad mm-hmm. at all. It's just that with every single meal, there are three types of carbohydrates. For some reason, you know, you've got your rice, you've got your bread, yeah, you've got yeah. your potatoes.
I got one last question for you. For perhaps some longtime Beijing residents or listeners who maybe have lived in China, what's going to be the first meal out of your house when you get to freedom?
You know, I was just talking about that with my wife, who I get to share a room with, by the way. She's right here behind the computer.
Would she like to make a guest appearance?
She doesn't want to make it. No, she does not want to make a guest appearance. And, you know, by the way, sharing the room with my wife is great most of the time. You know, if we're not making each other laugh,
careful.
You know, we are making each other cry. No, but it's been great. We were talking about what our first meal is going to be. Have you been to Country Kitchen in Beijing? It's an amazing restaurant. It's so, so good. And I've been craving their food. So I think that's going to be our first meal, but I'm not quite sure yet.
Well, I'm looking forward to our in-person reunion as well. I know you're looking forward to getting back to your podcasting setup at home. So
yeah, it's going to be so nice to have my microphone back. I can't wait. All right. Well, let's wrap it up there, Mark. Thank you for listening to the China Sports Insider Podcast. The China Sports Insider Podcast is host Mark Dreyer. He is the China Sports Insider. Check out his book on Amazon. It's called Sporting Superpower, China's Quest to Be the Best. We are on the Syndica Podcast Network. Check us out at chinaproject.com. My name is Haig Balian. I edited this show, and we will be back soon. Goodbye.